is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, and his National Post column looks at the what we know of the peace deal, the ceasefire deal between Gaza, Hamas, and the Israeli Defense Forces. It's all very positive. We don't have all the details, but we're here to praise the President of the United States. Conrad, a very good evening to you. The success so far of the peace deal is that President Trump, before these final negotiations in Cairo that are ongoing, details are everything, attracted the sympathy of the Arab states. To my knowledge, that's never been done before. How did he do that, in your opinion? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. I would say, and I would emphasize, not only the Arab states, but the non-Arab Muslim countries apart from Iran. Turkey was playing a mischievous role and fraternizing with Iran in a way that was not appropriate to a NATO country. And was clearly a troublesome country in many ways from the Western perspective. Pakistan has often been hostile to the U.S. It's kind of the odd man left out in the China, India, Pakistan partitioning, if you will, of East Central Asia and Southern Asia. And Indonesia has been a friendly power, but not involved in pan-Muslim affairs. And I think that the way Trump recruited them is, again, another illustration of his astute diplomatic intuition, because he saw that, I mean, they're all, by the standards of the Arab powers, very populous, influential countries. I mean, Indonesia is in OPEC, Turkey's in NATO, they have large populations, Pakistan's a nuclear power, and he brought them in, it flattered them, and they were a calming influence on the overall picture. They're not obsessed with the Jews. I mean, Erdogan has made the Turkish leader has made some hostile remarks about Israel, but historically, Turkey has been a relatively pro-Jewish country, pro-Israel country. And I think they were all rather flattered to be asked. And certainly the Indonesian president gave a very helpful speech at the United Nations General Assembly. In the case of the Arabs, I think they figured out, with the Saudis and the Egyptians in particular leading them, but the Americans doing their part as well, that Israel was potentially a very, very formidable ally against Iran, in the event that the Islamic Republic of Iran continues to be hostile. Now, here we get into this dispute that I, for one, as a non-Muslim, don't consider myself too well qualified to comment on, but the dispute there is between the Shiites and the Sunni Muslims. But the Arabs we know, the immediate surrounding countries to Israel, are all Sunnis, and they have some differences with the Shiites. And so it seems to me that using Witkoff and his son-in-law coming back, whose role in the Abraham Accords was well remembered, and other people, including the Secretary of State, he's put something down for everybody to get together on a consensus that established states, and particularly Israel, are preferable to terrorist operations, and it's in everyone's interest to get rid of the terrorists. They're an embarrassment as well as a danger to the Arab governments. And we just do these things in a logical order. No doubt he's been assisted by the fact of attrition. It's been 2 years of a nasty war, and people do tend to get smarter as they become more experienced. But meanwhile, he's brought in the goods, and he's delivered for everybody. And I think. I mean, I don't suppose the Hamas people love him too much, but everyone else who's involved has been praising
him.
I think
The other huge burden is the Israeli cabinet. How did he do that? You've answered one part, so I'll give you another hard one. He got Netanyahu together with the far right. How did he do that?
Well, that may be doing things where Netanyahu said, look, I can portray it this way if you do that. So they may have worked that out between them. The intricacies of the Israeli caste set and how they put governments together is horribly complicated, and it becomes more so when you get into the role of the Supreme Court of looking into everything in a way that no court in our Western countries does. You know, I mean, we all have high courts that exercise their roles, but they don't sit there as a commentator on ongoing events, saying whether, you know, you can take a military offensive or introduce an executive order or something. So Netanyahu's ability to keep all that going is remarkable, especially since his opponents are using his enemies in the judiciary to accuse him of crimes, which I suspect are no more accurate than the accusations were against Trump, or, for example, or against the leader of the opposition in France. But the fact is, getting this coalition of interest together on a consensus is, I think, and I wrote this in the piece you're kindly referring to, and I don't know that anyone else has quite put it this way, but I think it is the greatest diplomatic success in the Middle East since the establishment of the State of Israel. With all due respect of, the Camp David agreements and the shuttle diplomacy of Henry Kissinger and other the bits of progress that we've had, this has been an astounding achievement that went beyond what had been anticipated. That's one of the reasons why I am very much an optimist going forward. I mean, I don't think that as Hamas hands over the hostages, I don't think they have any bargaining position left to resist a reasonable interpretation of this agreement. They can't say, all right, it's back to war. I mean, they'll all be killed, and they have no hostages to pull at the heartstrings of the Israeli public.
Therefore, what I'm hearing from you is that this was the ability of the president of the United States to bring about 10 or 11 sides to the table. There wasn't easy would have been two sides, maybe three, but not 10 or 11. That I ran out of fingers how many different factions are going to show up and endorse the president's decision.
I exactly right, to expand the scope of the negotiating and contracting powers in a way that flattered those that have come late to it and assisted them in taking a constructive role in getting a deal done. I think that in a perfectly natural way, but no one else thought of it before, the Indonesians and Pakistanis and Turks, all of them large, important countries, especially in a Muslim context, they all were flattered to be asked and determined to try and help get an agreement.
It's interim. It's not final. But right now, all praise the magic man in the chief executive office, Conrad Black.
Absolutely.
National Post columnist, distinguished biographer. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.